Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and I need to let you know right off the bat that our guest that was scheduled for the first half hour was not able to make the interview this morning. We are going to be talking with Caroline Flohr about Heaven's Child. This is her true story about the enduring strength of family, and we'll find out more, but we'll be talking with her at the bottom of the hour. I wanted to share a thought with you today when we started out the show. And by the way, the phone lines are open at 888-627-6008 if you'd like to call in and chat with me. There's a fable that has been around, oh my goodness, I don't know for how long, and I don't even know where it originated. But it's all about a dispute between the North Wind and the Sun. Now, they were arguing with each other. Who was the more powerful? They were debating for a very, very long period of time. When finally they agreed to settle their argument with a wager, the first to cause a man that was just walking down a path to strip away his clothing would be the victor. Well, they finally found a lone individual walking in a direction that was going to take him a fair bit of time before he'd reach his destination. The wage was on. The North Wind huffed, puffed, and blew with all of his might. But the more the North Wind blew, the closer the traveler wrapped his coat about him. The North Wind, the more he blew, the more the individual just kept everything tightly closed about himself. The sun said, "It's now my turn." The sun shined down on this individual. The rays warmed up the walking traveler. Didn't take long before he was taking off his warm coat. Then he took off his best. Then, as the sun continued to beam down on him, he took off his shirt, took off his pants. I mean, this guy was getting hot. He was getting so warm. He finally took everything off and looked for a stream, which he was able to find, that he was able to immerse himself in. It felt so cooling, and it was very soothing to his overly warm body. The sun turned to the North Wind and said, "Persuasion is far better than force." I really like this fable because I think so many times when we go through life, depending on what we have been indoctrinated with, we want to brandish sticks, we want to stand up, we want to fight, we want to argue. Well, many times, the art of persuasion brings to mind this old, old fable that said you need to remember a man convinced or woman convinced against their will, nonetheless, convinced is still. So sometimes when we want to create a change, we need to do it in a simple way. We need to do it in a way where we plant seeds so that there is an opportunity, perhaps, for someone to become aware of the options that they have. I think of an old Buddhist monk that I happened to see the story of, and this is a true story, and it was in the early 1980s, and he went public with the information that in his country, his beloved country of India, he was trying to tell people about the river Ganges and how the river, Mother Ganges, who was the source of all life in this country, was suffering and was quite sick. He pointed out for many, many years how because of pollution, the waters had become very, very unhealthy. It was creating all kinds of problems, and it was the fault of all the people and the lack of being aware of how to create a healthy environment for the River Ganges. Well, as the years went by, this man really worked very, very hard, one lone monk, to raise money so that sewage treatment plant could be brought in, all kinds of things could be done to make the environment healthy. Now, this was back before the 80s, actually. He'd been working on it for quite a while. Finally, he got all of the political folderol out of the way. He raised enough money, which was a few million dollars, and was able to get all of the equipment, the funds, everything that was needed to establish a sewage treatment system on the River Ganges so that we could help the Mother Ganges get well. As it turned out, and he showed the television crew exactly where all of the equipment was that had been purchased and been delivered and was sitting on the river edge of the River Ganges, and he said, here's all the equipment. All of the money disappeared. Because of corruption, the job never got done. So he really was very disappointed about this. And being a monk, he decided he'd go into reflection about it. And he realized that he couldn't reach the adults of the area because they already had their agendas in place. And none of it was related to making the environment healthier. So he started doing something. He started working with the children. He started telling them about the days when Mother Ganges was healthy and the good that was done and the well-being of the people depending on the health of the environment. He started teaching children. And he said, I wanted them to know that this was something that was their legacy and they could make a difference and how important it was for them to get education so that they could learn how to improve the environment for millions and millions of people. One man with one concept with one idea. His story went around the world. I don't know if the equipment is still sitting on some bank on the River Ganges in India. I have no idea. This was so many years ago. But I can tell you this. It takes that kind of awareness, a persuasion, an understanding. And in today's world, we're becoming more and more, we have become more and more aware, and there are more and more people that are deciding to take action. So whenever you feel a bit frustrated, if you feel like sometimes your efforts in making a difference seem to go to naught, remember the fable about the north wind and the sun, and also the Buddhist monk, who said, if one way isn't working, then let's see what we can do with another. And he was putting into effect himself the understanding that persuasion really is one of the best ways to get things done. Donna Seabold here. We're going to be having a guest at the bottom of the hour, Caroline Floor. We're going to be talking about her book, Heaven's Child, which I think is going to be touching your heart and mind. Meanwhile, the telephone lines are open, and you are welcome to give me a call at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. Well, I thought I would give you a touch of history. We have a holiday coming up pretty soon, Thanksgiving. My goodness, we all enjoy it so much because it is a time to be thankful. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken with just in this last week, who are on the East Coast, and they've said to me, Donna, I am so grateful for streetlights in New York City. And I had to chuckle when this was said to me. But they said, we take so much for granted, or have taken so much for granted. And this individual is working in downtown Manhattan, and she said, I really understand how vitally important these streetlights are, because it takes and creates order out of chaos. And she said the power, the heat that we're able to get, the capacity of being able to communicate, all of this. She said we were without for a good deal of time, and there's many areas still that don't have service back because we're dealing with a huge, huge area of disaster. And she said, I am grateful every morning when I walk in. Someone else was telling me the same thing. They said they had gotten back from visiting another country that is more or less like a third world country. And this person said, I step into a store and I realize I have a choice in just a small area of my own neighborhood. I can find a thrift store if I need to buy things and I don't have a lot of money, it's there. There are all kinds of places where I can get food if I need it. And she said, I just went through so much. And when I stepped into my own environment, my own neighborhood, I was so grateful. And when we look at the history of Thanksgiving, there's so much that has gone to create it. This is something that has evolved over quite a number of years. And we look at, try about 1621. This was the very first Thanksgiving. Now they don't have the actual Thanksgiving or festival day because dependent on harvest, it would be held in maybe October or November. But they do know that the harvest feast, which is not unusual because in many cultures this was a feast of celebration, the pilgrims gave thanks not only for the first year of survival in a very, very harsh environment, but also they were very grateful to their Indian neighbors, the Wampanoag, neighbors, for their help. Now, the only firsthand account that they have about Thanksgiving is written by William Bradford's and Edward Winslow's letter. The two men put this together and sent it to a friend of theirs in England, and it was published in a local publication, Mort's Relation, in 1622. And this is what this letter, this historical letter, said. Our harvest being gotten in, our governor set four men on fowling, so that we might after a special manner rejoice together. After we had gathered the fruits of our labors, the four in one day killed as much fowl as with a little help beside, that served the community almost a week. At which time, amongst other recreations, we exercised our armies, many of the Indians coming amongst us, and amongst the rest of the great king, Massasoit, with some 90 men, whom for 3 days we entertained and feasted, and they went out and killed 5 deer, which they brought to the plantation and bestowed on our governor and upon the captain and others. The quote, the words, rejoice, entertained, and feasted, show us the reason and the origin of the very first Thanksgiving. Now, they're always going to be investigating the origins of Thanksgiving. It is a national American holiday, and it's something that we need to remember came about because of being grateful for a harvest. Can you imagine yourself going out, picking up all pumpkins or whatever you might be growing, and if weather has been blessed and good, then you have a harvest that's going to get you through a long winter. And back in Virginia, those winters were really, really harsh. And so consequently, people didn't have freezers. They didn't have any way of preserving things other than smoking, and they didn't even have real canning at that time. So salting meat, you know, drying it, doing things like this took a lot of time, a lot of effort. And you really need to think about how you would today, if you were in that situation, what you would do to prepare for the long winter months ahead. Agriculture, it is the source of every civilization. Civilization only grows when agriculture is productive and effective. and you have a surplus that you are able to sell and share with others. And that is something that a lot of people don't know about history. So Thanksgiving, I think it is a fabulous holiday, and it's also a good time to showcase your cooking skills and your decorative skills and the fellowship of sharing with so many other people. So that's just a touch of Thanksgiving history. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-627-6008. A touch of trivia here. I did not know that snails could grow to, well, a pretty big size. Could you imagine holding a snail that is so large that it would actually fit in your hand, over 5 inches in length and about 3 to 4 inches in height going to the top of its shell? Well, that gives you a few shivers, I could understand. Here in the Pacific Northwest, we're known for our snails and our slugs. Well, the giant African snail is considered one of the world's most destructive creatures and can grow up to 10 inches in length. Mm-hmm. They are found mostly in East Africa, Asia, and the Caribbean. And they go global. That's right. How does that happen? They get into produce containers, and consequently, they end up going around the world. In 1966, a boy from Miami, Florida, acquired 3 of these snails. I don't know who in the world would have let a kid acquire these snails. And guess what happened? Grandma released them into the garden. 7 years later, there were 18,000 of them. Can you imagine snails of that size in your backyard, front yard? Oh, that's just gruesome. Anyway, it took the authorities in Florida 10 years and $1 million of cost to eradicate them. Yep, they did get rid of them. Unbelievable. All because some boy was given a gift, which obviously he didn't want, because grandma decided to put it out in the backyard. And of course, in the tropics, everything grows supersized. I was talking with a client yesterday that was from Bolivia, and he was telling me how there they have spiders that the bodies might be the size of the interior of a teacup, but their legs are just humongous. And he was describing one, and he described one that his brother had found that had this extended sack on it. And he said, my brother and I had never seen the spider before. He said, it was absolutely huge. And he said, we killed it, and we were curious about the pouch, and we punctured it with a stick, and all of this substance came out of it. And he said, we had no idea what it was, but we were concerned that it was poisonous because we had been taught in Bolivia that if there is a very extended area of the spider, it usually will have some kind of a toxin in it or poison. So that's just a little bit of something to start off your day with. So remember, every part of the world has its unique creatures, and one of the biggest challenges that we have is because everyone is traveling at such an extensive level today that sometimes these hitchhikers can change our world dramatically. I'm going to be sharing with you a real simple recipe for how you can fix a wonderful salmon if you're looking for something that's different for the holidays. Salmon is just absolutely awesome as a dish, and if you wanted to have it on a buffet, I've got a wonderful recipe here that I'm going to be sharing with you. It's a one-pan marinate and bake salmon recipe that I think that you will enjoy. I wanted to share with you a story about a woman by the name of Sandra. Sandra said something that I really believe in. She said, every one of us has the power to change the world. Now think about that. Every one of us has the power to change the world. Now, how did Sandra decide that this was a true statement? How did Sandra decide that she could change the world in some way? Well, it sort of started with a show that her husband happened to see on television. It was called Extreme Couponing on a particular station. And her husband said, "Oh, boy, you've got to come in and see this, Sandra, because you're a coupon queen." And she said, She was just fascinated with the program because she saw how women on this show walked out of stores. Their carts were overflowing with all kinds of items. And she saw in the show garages that were stockpiled with enough food to feed a small community. And when she was watching it, she had a flashback. She said it came to her that she had gone through some very hard times in her life. And there was one facility, it was called the Food Locker, and it was located in a community in Connecticut. And she said it was because of this place that she and her family were able to survive. Now, her husband is a very hardworking man and was still hardworking during the times that it was really, really rough for them and the family. Now, it was at that time, as so many women do, began to do it, she started clipping coupons. And she just was very careful. She bought generics, she watched her pennies, yet at the end of the month, they didn't have any food in their house. And she'd hear her children say, "What's for dinner, Mommy?" Well, she'd open her cupboards. There was nothing there. Everything had been used up. So she really felt very, very badly about this. She learned about the social services food locker. And she said, "Well, guess what? We're going to go." She took her children with her, and she said, "We're going to go to a place where they're going to give us some food, so we're going to have some extra stuff at the house." Well, at the food locker, very fine and kind volunteers handed out bread, eggs, oil, canned fruits, all kinds of veggies, rice, beans. And sometimes people would bring in a broiled chicken that they could give to a family that day. And Sandra was a woman of very deep faith, but she said it was still very tough because she was home, she was taking care of the family, her husband Scott was working as hard as he could. Now, gradually, things started getting better, and she found that because of the way she dealt with things, her children were not haunted by negative memories of going hungry and things like this. And she thought many times, "I'd really like to be able to pay back what someone and many, many people that I never knew did for me and provided for my family." Well, she decided after watching this television program, she was going to become an expert couponer. That's right. She said, "I want to do something." Well, she started learning. She found out how to hone her techniques. She checked out newspapers, also the internet for sales, coupons, and rebates. She didn't just utilize them for the supermarkets, but she did other discount chains, too. She got together her first haul. She had dozens of boxes of macaroni and cheese. She had toothbrushes and toothpaste. She even got special deals on toys like the Transformers. And she hauled it all to the food pantry. Do you know, she notified her friends what she was doing. Everybody that knew her made a point of going through every magazine they got, every newspaper that they got, and they were giving her their coupons. They weren't interested, but they said, "Here, we really are supportive of you. We'll clip the coupons. You go ahead and collect the goodies." And that's what she did. She was averaging 1,000 coupons a week. And you know what? She ended up getting, in some situations, actual money back, actual cash. So what that went towards was her gasoline. That way she could deliver more to the food pantry. There was a Thanksgiving when she collected coupons for cranberry sauce, stuffing, a free turkey, and bought a real Thanksgiving meal with all the trimmings to the food locker. And she met the family that was going to be able to get that entire meal. But, you know, she said she wanted to do more. She had such vivid memories of her own family's experience that she said she was going to use items purchased solely with coupons. So she enlisted her own daughters and a niece named Patricia, and she said, we're going to stuff 100 Christmas stockings with bath salts, lotions, lipsticks, and perfumes, all things women in need could use to feel better about themselves. Sandra has been so involved with this that she has ended up helping hundreds of families. And do you know, this year is no exception, but she's expanded. She's now gotten into scoring bargains on dog and cat food, treats and toys for the animals. Every single item is purchased with coupons. She's donating all the food items for the animals, etc., to the animal shelters. And this is what she said. Some people who coupon say they're saving up for an emergency. But at these food shelters, there's someone having an emergency every day. I know, because I was one of them once. And she said, now I truly believe each of us has the power to change the world, one coupon at a time. One woman, inspired by a television show that her husband happens to see, is benefiting the lives of so many people that she will never, ever meet. And you know what? She's having fun in the process, and her kids are learning something, too. They're learning how to be frugal, perhaps, but also how good it is to be able to support others that maybe are going through tough times. And in going through those tough times, they need a little bit of support so they can stand on their feet. This isn't welfare. It is support. It makes a difference. Now, if you'd like to do something like this, you can check for matchups. Here's some information. Use couponmom.com and the crazy coupon lady, and that's with a K, not a C, thecrazycouponlady.com to find money-saving matchups between sales and coupons. They'll tell you which coupons to use at what store and how much the items will cost. Now, this is a direct tip from Sandra. Also, she said, when you buy small size packages, you get the better deals. She said, if you have a high-value coupon, it makes the item almost free. And Target, the store Target, lets you pair a manufacturer's coupon with a Target coupon. Just print it from Target.com. And many grocery stores will double coupons up to 99 cents, so your discounts are worth even more. So one lady who has found a vocation, I'm sure in a million years, she never thought was going to be the one she'd be so dedicated to. Every one of us has the power to change the world. Thank you, Sandra. Wonderful story. Donna Sebo here, and just a quick note. If you have a story or something that you would like for me to share on air, why don't you send it along to me? Send it to DonnaSebo@Comcast.net or Donna@DelphiInternational.com. I always enjoy hearing from you, and I enjoy recipes or anything else that you would like to share. So when we come back, we are going to be talking with Caroline Flohr, Heaven's Child. This is a mother's story. Well, it's her personal story of a situation that you'll learn about in just a moment, and the enduring strength of family. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back from the break, we'll be on the air with Carolyn, and then have that pad of paper and pen handy because I'll be sharing a one-pan preparation, marinating and preparing a delicious salmon. Donna Sebo here. We'll take a break. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Topperson will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Topperson. Topperson is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Topperson or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Topperson, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hello, this is Donna back, Donna Sebo, and we have our guest, Caroline Floor, and her book is Heaven's Child. On the cover, there is this photo of two beautiful children standing at a river's edge. This is Carolyn's story about her children and the enduring strength of family. Caroline, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Donna.
Now, you live on one of the most beautiful islands in Washington. Of course, I think Washington is just absolutely gorgeous anyway, but Bainbridge Island. This is a very, very special place, and it's very close to Seattle, but it has its own special magic.
It does. Bainbridge is a really special place.
Yes, it is. Now, you have this phenomenal story, Caroline, about your children. Tell us what happened and how this affected your life.
The story is about, it's not just about my children, it's about families and it's about a community, a small community. We live on an island out just a 35-minute ferry boat ride away from Seattle, and it's a very close-knit community of about 22,000 people, of which the majority of the population is under the age of 18. And in 2004, eight teenagers got in an SUV and took a midnight joyride on our island roads. And it turned into an accident. And that night, my daughter was the one child in that car who was killed. And the accident itself, of course, tore many families apart. It tore our community apart. And it has been a process of healing ever since. And I found with, I wrote my story for my children. So it's very raw, it's very intimate. You're traveling on a spiritual journey with me, and at the same time taking your own spiritual journey as you read Heaven's Child. Because it's truly reaching you in your life on your own journey, because it's a documentation of what happened during those 5 years as we found that we would survive as a family. And really, we grew in ways that we never dreamed possible. And so Sarah's death at age 16, for us, has truly been the greatest gift that she's ever given to us. And each of us can say that.
Your story shares very significantly all of the different perspectives that are experienced by people that go through this type of a situation. And you bring out the anger, you bring out the confusion. You have a little poem in here, and I'll read it. It says, "Life is but a test to see what we can do, to see what we can give. Life is what we do. Love is what we give." And you talk, and as you say, this is a very significant part of your journey.
It is.
Your daughter's name was Sarah, and your other daughter is Katie?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And
that's correct.
She was at home when this accident occurred.
Yes,
and
she
was at home. Yeah, she was at home. And so Sarah, the bond, because they were twins.
Mm-hmm.
And you have wonderful photos in here of your family.
Oh, thank you.
And there's often been described this incredible connection between twins.
Yes,
and,
there is.
Mm-hmm. And your daughter knew Katie just was affected so deeply by this because she felt like she should have been able to prevent her sister from exploring this adventure. Now, how old was Sarah? She was 16?
The twins, Katie and Sarah, were 16 and a half at the time of the accident.
So,
my youngest at the time, I have five children. My youngest at the time was 6 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Katie spoke to Sarah at 11:30 that evening, and this accident happened 2 hours later at 1:30.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was something for her that she couldn't get over to a degree. She really had to work through that. So you had some very special experiences after Sarah passed away. What was the most memorable to your daughter, Katie?
Oh, to Katie. Wow, you know, there's been so many amazing experiences and so many coincidences, if that's what you want to call them, or messages that have happened that neither of us can deny the fact of life after death. And for Katie, those experiences have been tremendous healing, but also has shown her a power and faith and hope that she never knew.
What was one her experience?
One of the experiences was, which is in the book, and there's many that are not shared in the book, one of them in particular was when Katie was over on the island in Maui and had for 3 years been asking to see a psychic, and I took her to see one. I didn't believe in them, but that was a very strong turning point for her. In that conversation with a man over on the beach over there in Hawaii, she came to really believe that her sister Sarah did not experience, was not hurting, did not experience pain when she was killed, that it happened, and it happened quickly, and that Sarah was okay. And that was a very big turning point for Katie. Shortly thereafter, she then she went off to college, and she was able to start her own life with her own identity and really begin the next chapter in her life and start to understand that there were so many gifts in Sarah's death and that she was finding and that she was now living with for a much greater life than she would ever have known before.
Now, Andy also had a very special experience. And it was on the 5th of February, 2005. It was a year.
He did. It was on the first birthday. February 5th is Katie and Sarah's birthday. And we had a puppy. We got our dog died right after Sarah died that we'd had for 11 years, and we had a new puppy. It's pouring down rain in the Northwest, as it does in February. And he took the puppy outside in the morning for a short walk, and the puppy immediately, as it was passing Sarah's room, walked up, dashed up to the window as if Sarah were inside and responded accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a message to him, and it did help him to start thinking about things differently than he had thought about them before. But grief and death are very personal, and we grieve in our own ways over any loss, whether it's a divorce or a loss of someone we loved or financial ruin, and we grieve in our own time. And I think that first time, that morning of the children's birthday, which was also the last birthday that we decided as a family we would sing happy birthday to Sarah,
mm-hmm.
That was the beginning of the change in his life.
Mm-hmm. You have a poem in here by Agatha. It's not a poem, really. It's a statement by Agatha Christie. A mother's love for her child is like nothing else in the world. It knows no law, no pity. It dates all things and crushes down remorsely all that stands in its path. And you really had been dealing with a concern because your surviving daughter, Katie, the surviving twin, had really closed down, and she just was trying to medicate herself to go to sleep, and she wanted to be in what I call the twilight zone. She wanted to be able to interact with Sarah. What happened to make her come out of that twilight zone?
One is time. One is moving past the point in time, taking tiny steps, and she had to come to a point where she would realize she would be okay by herself without her sister.
Mm-hmm.
And as she started to look back on gifts that Sarah had given her, a book in particular that Sarah had made for her in sixth grade when she wrote the poem that you read at the beginning, Life is But a Test. That was Sarah's poem that she had written when she was about 11 years old. And in that book, the book that Sarah had made for Katie in the back, she had specifically written, "Keep this book, for you will have it long after I am gone."
Mm-hmm.
And there were several things like that, and as Katie started to look back on all of that, you started to see the pattern, and that really helped towards the acceptance. And when you could reach the acceptance that as much as you wanted her, she wanted Sarah back here, she accepted that Sarah was dead. Yes, there was still, and there is still, some anger. But her life, as she knows, continues, and it continues to expand and continues. She lives with a great beauty now that she never knew before. And that makes that acceptance of her sister's death gives it a little ease. I'm not saying it makes it all better. Of course you want your twin sister there. But you have to accept, and you have to have faith, and you have to have hope. And I do believe that Katie is learning that at some point when her life ends, she will be with her sister again.
Mm-hmm. Your book is filled with so much warmth. It's filled with tears. It's filled with love. It is filled with confusion expressing itself. You talk about your members of family. The journey is a very heartwarming one. And at the same time, it makes any reader aware of the fact that life is not a straight line. Life will have its challenges always. And it is what you do with them that makes a difference. And your quote by St. Augustine, "Life signifies everything it ever has. The thread is not cut,
Why would I be out of your thoughts just because I'm out of your sight? I am not far, just on the other side of the path. St. Augustine. Carolyn, this is a very, very fine book that you've put together and something that was an expression of your feelings. What is the website where people can find out about Heaven's Child and your story?
The website is heavenschild.com, www.heavenschild.com, and it's available at any local bookstore or online at Amazon and in the Kindle version.
Wonderful. Caroline, and your last name is spelled F-L-O-H-R, for those of you that would like to look it up, heavenschild.com. Caroline Flora, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's been a delight having you.
And thank you,
I wish you and your family the finest of the holiday season.
Oh, thank you. Same to you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. We've got a caller on the line, and when we come back, I'll be talking with you directly. This is Donna. Don't go away.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. I believe we have a caller on the line. Is that caller available still, Don? Or are they going to call back in? We had someone that had called, and I'm on the air now where you can call me directly at 888-627-6008. So we'll wait for that caller. But anyway, I wanted to share this recipe with you for salmon. Now, here in the Pacific Northwest, it's one of our favorite fish. And, of course, there we go. We're going to have to wait on that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi. First name or initial?
Joni, hello.
Hi, Joni, and where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Arizona.
All right. Thank you for your patience. This has been
a different
schedule with the hour. Okay, Joni, the first thing that I am looking at with you is an intensity of planning. And I want to say that's fine. But I think you're going to have to back up a little bit because you're getting so engrossed in the details that you are trying to compartmentalize things so much. And I don't fault you for this because, after all, that's how we're indoctrinated. But I want to say have your outline, get details specific, but that's for you. When it comes to you interacting with someone else, let them give you the information about what their needs are, so that then you can confirm with them what their expectations are, whatever their needs are. And then you can say, all right, give me about, half an hour or an hour, whatever you need, so I can tailor make what I feel is going to be most suitable for you. How does that sound? And you're going to find people saying, hey, that's pretty cool. But I want you to be sure that you get the information from this individual so that you know exactly what's on their mind. And I would say have a structured proposal A and a structured proposal B. And say, I have this, and obviously you want to present the best one to them first, and then get their response and say, all right, then there's another option here. Now, apparently the cost isn't going to be any different. But it is, I need to know what your needs are so that I can tailor make this to what you require. And have this sort of flow that goes. Don't try to zoom in so that you've got everything in this little box.
you're going to find people are going to be very uncomfortable with that. They want to know that there's flexibility and pliability. Whatever your fee would be, and I would expect it would be for the time, that is fine, but this is something that could lead to another opportunity to have what I'd call another contract, agreement, proposal. And I think you're going to find yourself working differently than you have in the past. And you're going to say, this is a lot more comfortable and a lot easier for me, and I'm able to get my point across and take care of the needs of the people that would be seeking me out. And I'll tell you what, if you become a little bit more relaxed about what you do, I'm not saying sloppy, and I'm not saying get lazy. I'm talking about being relaxed. Your tension is not going to be there that people would pick up on. And that's going to make all the difference in the world to how well you are received. This is something that's going to be very important, and I just think that the year 2013 is going to afford you so much wonderful opportunity. So you're going through a few shifts and changes right now, but it is not negative in my mind's view. I just think you're getting fine-tuned. That's the best way I know how to describe it. And your work and your effort will pay off. But, again, be willing to stay flexible, be willing to ask questions so you get enough information to work with so that you know what their needs are. And I know I'm repeating myself for the third time, but it is for a good reason. So be patient with yourself. Oh, and by the way, there's something about a sinus irritation. You might just want to use a saline solution to rinse the nasal cavities out with. Very, very mild. And that might help you get past this irritation with the sinuses. I don't know if it's a pollen or some kind of dust that you would be coming in contact with. So just be aware. Do you have a question for me?
I have the dust and pollination and all of that. Yeah, thank you. I've been thinking about that myself. But I carry something in my purse that I get over the counter for that kind of thing, and I'm going to start using it. Hopefully that will help. But everything that you have said really hits on the mark on what I'm trying to achieve more.
Good.
I wonder if you picked up from the person I was talking with yesterday that is in a position to hire and fire people from a company that he represents, he's with, if I'll be getting any work from him, being offered any work from him.
Well, this person is the type of individual I call a bean counter, and we all know what they are, who they are. They are the persons that have this personality. They're totally numbers. This is a person that has to have the numbers. This is a person that's going to say, if the bottom line isn't there, then we're not going to do anything with you. And this person slices and dices associations with people on a regular basis. If you want to submit proposals to this individual, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. But don't get stressed if you don't get it.
Oh, no.
Just make the proposals. Yeah, and make the proposals. I'm looking at something that might come through by early spring, but I'm not holding my breath with this individual because this individual really understands how their position works. And they pride themselves on being able to weed out those deals, if you will, that are going to fulfill their numbers game. And that's all you need to be aware of. And don't try to make this person a focus point of your involvement. Don't do that. This person, I would say, would just be on the side somewhere. And if it works out, you spend the time to present the proposal. That individual will make their choices. If they say no, you don't take it personally. You just keep on moving on. And I want to thank you for your call, Joni.
Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, happy Thanksgiving to you, too. This is Donna Siebel. It looks like I am going to have to wait on this simple salmon recipe. Boy, it makes a wonderful dish. And if you're serving a buffet, this would give an extra special. Well, something.
And it may be in my upcoming newsletter, too, which, by the way, if ever you want to, you can always go through my past newsletters. I have some absolutely awesome, awesome recipes in there, and one comes out every month. So this one I might even put in our upcoming newsletter, because sometimes people are looking for something different. But regardless, we'll be sharing that with you on Monday, and right here on the Donna Sebo Show, we are going to be talking about orca whales in the San Juan Islands in Washington, blue skies, white clouds with Eliezer Sobel, oh, and so much more next week. Always be sure to check out the listings on the Donna Sebo Show. We give a brief write-up about our upcoming people that we're going to be interviewing, and I'm so delighted you were able to spend this time with me wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Have an utterly phenomenal weekend. Be safe, enjoy, and above all, count your blessings. Be grateful that you are a shining light in what seems to be sometimes a very dark world. And boy, you're special. I'm so glad you're shining time with me. Thank you very much. Have a fabulous weekend. Be right back here on Monday, same time, same place. This is Donna. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.